I want to stay in the spirit of what's going on. So, all right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here. Thank you for a breaker anointing. Thank you, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're doing. Amen. All right. So, I'm just on turbo. I don't know why. So I'm like, 10 minutes before I leave home, I'm like going, yeah. And because if I don't get the word of the Lord, I've got nothing to say. Okay, so, you know, and then, so when Daryl ministers or someone ministers like that, they go, oh, do you want to come? We'll tag team. I'll go, no, I'm good. So I'm really good at not ministering. I actually have an exceptional gift of not ministering. It's one of my strengths. I'm a fivefold not ministering person. And so, but what happens is that, so if the Lord speaks, and I've got to speak that out. And I want to carry the spirit of what I'm going to say tonight, but it's interesting. So look, we've been talking about cycles of time. We're talking about heavenly governance, number 24, 24 elders, 24 hours. Chatting out the back there is that it is a phenomena, you know, for me with ministry, counseling, prophesying, heading things up, taking territory, leading prayer groups, etc. I get to observe a lot. And I find that no matter how much, especially in church circles, cycles are so real. And you barely see someone spiritually winning the lottery. What do you mean? Is their life's here? They go, shoom, they're very rare. I find that people usually occupy a place, and so all the blessings and the goodies that are available in that place, right, they have access to. But then when they have a crisis or something, they have to up their pay grade per se or their faith. It's a very real thing. So I've observed this, and I find it a real phenomena. So we have the principle of breakthrough, which we talked about, but I believe more complete language is found along the lines of Revelation. It says, behold, I've set before you an open door. And that is crossing a threshold. And so crossing a threshold is a crossing over, because you're not just crossing over, you're going up. And we actually have to be different people to cross over. This is not just sort of like, well, I've been a believer for 15 years and so promotion is inevitable. It's not. If we don't go after this, this is what I've seen. This is real. If people are passive, then instead of crossing thresholds and going up into a greater dimensions, iniquity takes hold. You go. You think people just sort of like, you know, growing old and graceful. It doesn't exist. As iniquity lays a hold of it, nothing is static. You're taking territory, or territory has been taken on you. And this is why God loves people to tap into a zeal. God, like, heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. He must increase, we must decrease. This is something real. This is at odds with the island dwellers of Australia. Which, you'll be right, mate. And meanwhile, the fallen entities are working people over. Next thing you know, there goes your life, mate. And so we have to be very proactive of laying a hold of the Lord. But he wants us to go from faith to faith, glory to glory. And that involves, I believe, going from threshold to threshold. And these things can last years. And you know what? This is a seasoned, mature church and cohort and congregants, etc. It is. You know what's funny? Most people, right? So with the counseling, most people, there's exceptions. Most people know what they got to do. Come on. You know what God's told you to stop doing? And you know what God's told you to do? And we go, you know. People watching this, you go, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah. You just don't want to. It is. It's the way it is. This is, I don't know, why is this happening to me? You know. And for years, because it's so whinging, and you're so negative, and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's just surface level stuff. So this is, and what happens is crossing thresholds can often manifest as pressure. And you see these patterns in people's lives. This is why we map. We want to identify the cycles, but what causes them, and what is that? And so Did some ministry today. We minister in just about every day. But sometimes when you're ministering to someone, stuff drops into your spirit and you say it and you go, that's really good. Because it's not you. And so I want to touch that in a second. But so with crossing a threshold, it quite often looks like pressure. It looks like pressure. Now, I want you to think, now, this is something really interesting. Things take place in the spirit first. If we're talking about, and Megan brought this up last night when we were getting into prayer over things. So before someone, no, that's not a good example. You have to, things take place in the realm of the spirit before they manifest physically. Now, what you have is that we've been talking about, okay, so Adam, at the beginning of 2020, he had a dream that Adelaide was flooded with water. And he had in that dream, my son was at home doing school. Now, it was his second year at a private Christian school, and it's like, we were happy, he was happy. We're going, he's doing school at home? What the heck? Like just, there was no precedent. And then COVID hit, and then the fear and the hysteria and the irresponsible demonic messaging from government. And they can go, oh, we just did the best with what we knew. We got to do better, friends. We got to do better. As do the prophets, advising these heads of state, etc. You know, experts in hindsight, but we've got to learn from it. So what you got is that clearly the Adelaide wasn't flooded, and yet my son was, the dream came to pass because he was sitting in the table in the room of the house of the dream, but everything was flooded. I remember Savannah had a dream, right, where the streets around here were underwater. What is that about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's talking about dark demonic waters. It's talking about dark demonic waters. And so this is something where remember when Jesus said, when a spirit's cast out, it's sick, it goes to dry, waterless places. Isn't that interesting? And so it wouldn't be interesting if before a place gets overrun, let's just say somewhere like San Francisco or Philadelphia, those two places are in big trouble. If you've seen pictures of people on the street, it is a zombie apocalypse of homeless people, fentanyl, people dying on the street. We're talking like insane. It makes, you know, a Mad Max Road Warrior look like an Eden Blyton tale. It's that bad. So in the spirit, dark waters, because the demon's running amok. And so the other night, when the earth was flooded, before the physical rain came and the fountains of the deep were open, the earth would have been covered with dark waters. See, in the spirit, there would have been dark waters around the earth. And then what happened is that because it was in the spirit, there was incredible violence. There were hybridized creatures called Nephilim. There was incredibly awful things happening because it says the imagination of man's heart, imagination, the word yetzer, right, was only evil continually. So God knew it was going to become way, way worse. So there's that principle of it, stuff happening in the spirit. So when we're crossing thresholds, every power of darkness wants to resist us to cross those thresholds, and it manifests as pressure. It manifests as a lot of things. And sometimes our feelings, like this. This is why it's a psychological, spiritual, and emotional war. Most people's situations don't change that hectically. Even in Australia, if someone like is in hard times, I can't remember personally the last time I heard of someone dying of starvation in Australia. Doesn't exist for a number of reasons. So you've got to think the spirit world first and then the natural. And this is a very, very important principle. Because we actually overcome in the spirit first, and then it manifests. So crossing thresholds unto promotion and breaking endless cycles of fallen time is really, really important for us. Children of Israel in the wilderness. That I can't remember, offhand, but did you know that their journey across the wilderness should have only taken days, not 40 years? Days, not 40 years. And the Lord was trying to teach them something. It wasn't, you know, getting them to jump through the hoop. That their whole inner world was incongruent with the promised land and taking it. When you see the kingdom of God is within, you're going, oh my gosh, you know? We just work ourselves up into a lather over things that are just, we allow demons to open up our gates and like this. So what I want to do is I want to highlight the most consistent factor in my life that I found, that only the Holy Spirit taught me, right? The most consistent factor in crossing thresholds in my life. And I've crossed thresholds and didn't even understand the principle. I just said breakthrough, okay? So, and this is important. In the right context and balance, this principle that we're gonna is a little bit of a reprise, but we're going in a different direction. This is almost a panacea. In fact, this is one of the most important things. You know what's funny? So here, what we're about to talk about, God sees as very important, but most people don't. Remember, His ways are not our ways. If we start to deem the things that God deems as important, we're going to do well. But if we don't, we go, oh yeah, cool. All right, so let's go. This is the most consistent principle I have found at crossing thresholds. Matthew 21:15-16. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Comes from Psalm 22, out of the mouth of infants and babes, you've ordained strength. So we're not talking about learning to sing. We're talking about perfecting praise. See, God's ways are not our ways and vice versa. And the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. God wants to perfect us in praise because this is the most consistent principle to crossing thresholds. And you know what? If people go, what's your goal in life? If someone goes, if you were to say in front of a group of people, I want to be perfected in praise. And people go, okay. And yet, because we don't lean to God's ways, we get flogged. We get a beating. And He says, I want to perfect you in praise. I see people, I know there are people who love God, but they don't praise God. And so God will take whatever faith is on their life and promote them. But it's so much harder. So much harder. If you do not know how to praise the Lord, it's hard. You're going to get God dwells in the praise of His people. When you praise God, you create a dimension of meeting with the Lord. And when you meet with the Lord, He carries you on His shoulders. He transports you on the wings of eagles. If you learn how to praise Him, it's a whole nother level. Let's go to Philippians. It says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. This is the no wiggle room. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you are in any doubt, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So He's there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So it's in the realm of thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The seeds of fear or an orphan spirit can start off with anxiety. I just got some anxiety issues, not a big deal. Those things grow, friends. Wait, do you think phobias just jump out of nowhere like a Monsters, Inc. coming out of a closet? I understand trauma and PTSD, but people who tolerate the little foxes of anxiety, they don't understand those are the seeds of death. So the Lord said, be anxious for nothing. It's actually a commandment. Now, I remember I've been processing. I'm just going to just look. I want you to see this in a context of compassion and the love of God. But it talks about speaking the truth in love. Unbelief dishonors God. And we go, oh, it's a bit of it. Too bad. Unbelief dishonors God. This is why our whole purpose in life should be to get the Holy Spirit to teach us the realms of faith. To him who believes all things are possible, unbelief. And when you're in unbelief, the Holy Spirit, his major job will be to coach you into belief. That's it. You go, no, no, God can bless me in my unbelief. I haven't seen it somewhere between not often and ever. Because this should be so exciting, going, it's the realm of faith. I'll get what I believe. Yeah. That's not my words. That's what the Lord has to say. So it talks about, and the peace of God which surpasses understanding. You could be in the midst of such hectic trials and you're going, wow, I have my prayer answered. God's good. He's with me. You're in that dimension. God dwells in the praise of his people. You're crossing a threshold and you're incredible peace. God's allowed he's pulled all the dross coming to the surface and removing it, pulling the stones out of the soil, right? Because this is actually a war that we're engaged in. Okay, so now I'm just going to read off of this because this is stuff that I know, but I've got language for today. Things look different in different realms. Things look different in different realms. This is straight Holy Ghost here. You go, what do you mean? So we're ministering to someone today. A couple of us went up. So last year, there was a couple of us went up, ministered to someone who had a week to live. Yeah. Now, I imagined if the doctor says you got a week to live. I remember Daryl and I prayed for someone who had 2 weeks to live. This person had a week to live. So there's a full procession in and out of this person's place. I don't think they're in palliative care, they're at home, saying their goodbyes. As a priest, giving the last rites. This has actually happened. So what took place is we went up, and in the midst of all of this, we ministered in this situation and did some coaching and prayed and laid hands. And what took place was this was, I think maybe September? And then there was an anointing, it was all great. Then in January, they got tests. So they had 1 week to live. So obviously then January. And then what had happened is all their tumors started shrinking. Okay, so so we went to the same person's place today. I don't understand this. Some of you medical peeps might go, so I think with tumor markers, this type of tumor, the specialists were saying, we've never seen someone come through this one. This person comes through this one, it'll be the highlight of the medical profession's career, but and so it's something like, it has to be over 2.5 to be aggressive, advancing type deal. And this person, it wasn't 2.5, it was 14. And then after going after God, it went down to about 3. Now this is what I was getting today. And we're coaching this person and praying for them. But here's the deal. So different things look different in different realms, okay? I believe the Lord sometimes I'll get the exact word. Sometimes I'll get a vision or an impression. But sometimes it's like he's dictating to me and I'm sort of like a bit of my own sort of stenographer. So I heard the Lord say, healing is not an event, but a state of being. So when you treat it as an event, you go, I will be healed. No, you won't. Because healing took place at Calvary. So what you got, in the spirit, you believe you're healed, but then in the natural, it might manifest as an event. If you see it as an event, you're always going to push into the future. You know, I remember when I went to Lake Eyre as a kid. Who's been to Lake Eyre? Not many, but you guys got to get out more. Okay, Lake Eyre, and you're going, wow, look, Dad, there's water over there. I keep walking. Dad, the water's moving away. It's called a mirage. So what we have is a faith, God's moved by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that what everything took place at Calvary, no matter how many, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Through him we say amen to the glory of God. So healing is an event, is not an event, it's a state. So in the spirit, you have to lay a hold that you're healed. It's an event, sorry, I keep kidding. Spirit of dyslexia, come out, Leviathan, all right. So basically, as you see it as a state of being and you hold it, it manifests and that becomes the event. But if you see it and as an event, oh yeah, I will be healed, you won't. You won't, that's hope. And this is the same principle for crossing all thresholds. You actually have to lay a hold of who you are in Christ and what he's already provided for you and what that looks for you prophetically in a specific situation, but it is a state of being, it is not an event. And then what happens as you let that the essence of the victory of Christ or the provision in that particular area stay in you long enough, it manifests and it becomes the event, but you can't have faith in the event. Because what happened is the word of the Lord came to this person, and after the word of the Lord came to them, they got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And they were given a complete death sentence and everyone's saying goodbye. And then basically is the Lord intervened. And they're in the journey of seeing a reversal of their situation. Who thinks this is an interesting story? You've got to see whatever you're believing for as a state of being. Not as, down the track, that will. So everything looks different in different realms. In the spirit, you're saved. You don't go, what does saved look like? You're in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a state of being. And if you really lay a hold of it, it looks like works. The works don't save you. It looks like you go, faith without works is dead. It's sort of like the spirit without the body. But with thresholds, it's almost we've got to lay a hold of what God wants us to be on the other side of the threshold. And this is where praise comes into it. Because what we do, let's go, if we could... Let's do Psalms 34, 3 to 5. Psalms, let's just jump over there now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. So when you praise God, you're being perfected in praise and you're looking to the Lord. You cannot, you might be shocked. This is a shocking statement, but I want you to test this. It is impossible to look to God and yourself at the same time. You can't do it. So people go, but I am looking at God. I can't see the evidence. You have to behold Jesus. If you behold yourself, of course you can. It's like pulling out a power board out of the wall and then getting the plug and then putting it back in itself. That's you trying to make it happen in your own strength. It's ridiculous. That's what it looks like. So when we're crossing a threshold, we are looking to him, our faces are radiant and we'll not be ashamed. So this is why you've got to break it down into baby steps or micro decisions. Because you overcome in the micro decisions, those micro decisions overflow into macro decisions. It's you know, I want great faith. Be faithful. That's a good start. Because when you got people who are double-minded, unstable in their thinking, and unfaithful in their meditation, then the micro decisions are getting beaten. And this is why the little foxes, the anxieties, etc. Because we are in a time where there is pressure. Whatever weaknesses you have are going to be popping at the moment. It's a fact of life. So just see, you know, don't look. If you're feeling pressure right now, I just want you to know that you're not special. You're not unique. So many people are going through it, right? And this is why we have to meet God in our praises. This is the most consistent way to cross thresholds. So, so this is another one. Let's do Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart, that means to rejoice, does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. So I look, did you know that people make poor decisions? I know that's a shocker. But you know, God's bigger than your poor decisions if you look to Him. If you look to Him, if you replay the failures in your brain, or failures of the, you know, don't have this, don't have that, don't feel this, don't feel that, fair enough. But a merry heart. Now, what's happened is that there's a call on my life, and with the calling, right? So it's not plug and play. No one's plug and play. There's a calling on my life, and then God, and then you lay a hold of the calling, and then you get forged in the fire. So you might have a predisposition for victory and big pot, or you still get forged in the fire. Now, I'm going to take my mother's word on this, but my mother was very concerned for me when I was a baby, even up to maybe just before being a toddler. I'll tell you why. Because I never cried. Seriously, I never, she goes, we were really concerned. I mean, I'd like one of those babies. Now, I understand babies don't cry. There could be some issues, I do get it. She said, all you do all the time is laugh. To the point, one day, my mum was so concerned, she pinched my arm to see if I could cry. Now, I could retrospectively be offended at that and report her, but she's not with us. So basically, it is really, gosh, I don't know why I'm laughing. The mighty Apostle Paul, he saw Jesus multiple times, caught up into realms of glory, and Jesus goes, see, the guy that leads it, give me the guy, it's like the guy who led Billy Graham to the Lord. You are a diamond in Amway, that's for sure. But what about leading the Apostle Paul to Christ? Ananias, the good one, the alive one. You're going to go to a street called Straight. And there's a guy there, he's blind. And you're going to pray for him. And isn't he going, and this is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus defined Paul. You ready? I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. That was his calling. And then we've got this modern generation of babies who go, I'm suffering. Because we don't get the essence of the kingdom, the victory, and the joy. What happens is suffering should bring the joy to the surface so we transcend the suffering and change the circumstances. We've got to catch the essence of what God's calling us into. A merry heart makes like a medicine. And what happens is that being miserable changes nothing. Do not get me wrong, there's a time to grieve. There's a time to mourn, okay? But when you've got people who are long-term, miserable, negative, then there's got to be some systemic problems in the inner world. And I'll tell you what right now, is God's word is like a hammer. It is like a fire. Jesus doesn't just console us endlessly. He says seven times to seven churches, to him or her who overcomes. Thresholds are specific prophetic language for the overcoming realm. Because nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will, except for self-pity. The minute you feel sorry for yourself, you can come off the potter's wheel and you are that power ball that's been unplugged from the wall when you're plugged into yourself. And this is what God is training us to do. Because I have had a lot of things happen to me to really potentially make me a really unhappy person. But I got the call and I go, yes, Lord. And he goes, okay, now Todd, we're gonna go through the fire and you're gonna be forged, son, because you're going to prove the very thing I'm calling you to be and do. And this is the most consistent way I have found crossing thresholds is I lay a hold of praising God and then I lay a hold of the joy of the Lord. The closest thing I've found to the miraculous is joy. If you can get people in joy, you can get miracles. I'm going to tell some, a lot of these stories are based in mission field. And because this is a year we're doing a lot of trips again. So we go to this place. It was off to a bad start. So Daryl's doing his first crusade. And we got night one, right? So night one. Firstly, not many pastors were there because the witches were cursing them and they were dying. And they didn't want to turn up the crusade. So someone gets up there and the place is called Cajamarca, okay? That's what it's called, Cajamarca. And one of the team gets up there, we thought spoke Spanish, but they didn't. She goes, hello, Cajamarca. The prefix being caca, poo. So they're like, you got to be careful when you're speaking in other languages, the nuances. You got to make sure the emphasis is on the right syllable. The first time I experienced that, I was in the Philippines. And my mate was in a lift. Everyone, a big part of the team in culture shock. It would have been only 20. They were like, we're in a swimming pool up on the roof. Right, all it's sitting around, people going up and down this elevator. And then a rat the size of a dash hound just starts to walk across. And then like this. And then one of the guys in the elevator says to a local, in Filipino, he thought it was something like, good evening and how are you? And the guy was like this. And the guy could speak English. And he said to the guy on our team, says, do you know what you just said? And he said, what? He goes, you just said, long live the dog. So this crusade Daryl's doing, not many pastors, there's a decent amount of people, right? They've been welcomed, Cajamarca, right? Great start. And what happened is this. This is important. The first night, Jim Drown gets up there and he says, okay, so you can appeal like this. And he's on stage. So if you can get people in joy, he says, lift your heads. Lift your heads. Do you know what? If we don't do what we can do, God won't do what we can't do. In fact, like manifesting things. We want him to just take over. We weren't put on this earth for him to just do it all. We're in training for reigning. So after all these witches and Jim couldn't even get them to lift their heads, me and Jim had a meeting, said, I think tomorrow night, Daryl should do the meeting. This is just after a witch doctor astral projected into our hotel room and spat poison all over Daryl. So, true? Yep. So this is, the mission field. So if you can't even get people to lift their heads, if you can't get people to engage in praise, you know, even when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, expect God to come down and start going, it's, they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So crossing a threshold means we engage by faith. They look to Him, or magnify the Lord with me. They look to Him. Their faces were radiant. They weren't ashamed. God can't make you look at Him. He can try and get your attention. Angels doing jumping jacks. But you could still be going. You're not going to. So I've been in these situations many times. Many times. But you praising God is how you engage it, get crossover thresholds. And you know what? When I study psychology, there's a thing called temperament. Temperament seems to be quite a constant. So you can't, people who are chilled out, that's a temperament thing, probably based on basic tension levels. And then you've got people who are intense, right? That's quite a constant. Then you've got personality types. I just want to say this. I don't think before the throne on the sea of glass, there's going to be people who are chill and cash and then other people who are intense. You've got the intense section over here and then we've got the three-toed sloths, right? I don't believe that. So what we have to do, we have to dial into the Lord. Because there's a point, I've had to become a different person. I've had to, through praising God, capture the essence of my promotion, change of my character before I cross the threshold, and crossing the threshold smashes the enemy. That's what I've had to do. So a merry heart makes good like a medicine. I know what it's like to praise God and feel nothing but the opposite. So I was talking to this guy today. I know what it's like to be believing God for something and all you're hearing is voices going, you're a loser. This is mind over matter. What, are you kidding me? You're nothing. And you're sort of like, And you're praising God anyway. So you know the story. This is where this is why we need to hear the word of God preached and teached and the prophetic, right? It's we get caught in our own world, our own emotion. It's deceptive. I had a very, very strong dream. I was in a very bad place in my life. I was in my late 20s. I'm in a pit surrounded by demons. Oh, like this. I look up and I say, God, get me out of here. Audible voice from heaven goes, I have. Nothing's changed. Get me out of here. I hear I have. Nothing's changed. Three times and then dream finishes. I didn't levitate out of the pit. And God showed me things look different in different realms. If I laid a hold of the God's promises, looked to him and was radiant, I would be out of that place because that's a state of being and it would have manifested as an event, but I was waiting for an event. This is how you cross thresholds. You're waiting for something magical to happen. We need the body of Christ to be delivered from magical thinking and learn how to walk in faith. We're expecting some, you know, like my life to be on this trajectory and I do nothing and nothing, nothing, and then it goes like that. It doesn't work that way. This is why it says it be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man sowed seed on the ground. Take, you know, seed time and harvest. It's got a good soil and water and sun, etc. So as we lay a hold, things look different in different realms. As you lay a hold of a state of being, then it'll manifest as an event. And people go, how did you get healed? How did that change in your life? He said, you have no idea, because I had to, in the realm of praise, lay a hold of what God had laid a hold of me for. And this is the most consistent principle I have found in crossing thresholds. Okay, we're going to tell you some testimony stuff. So I'm going to give you a warning now. You are going to hear diarrhea stories. Trust me when I say I'm holding back the worst one. That's way too much. So when you travel the world, different places, funny things happen. So, before we get on to the diarrhea stories. So we got this building. Spirit of promotion, we crossed the threshold. Well, we're crossing a threshold. And I went to a series of visions in here. And I started seeing David, the cave, Adullam, Saul's assassins. I had just like this. And then not long after that, I literally, one morning, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, I was instantly awake and someone's talking in my ear. Now, usually that would freak you out, but it was the Lord. It was an angel. And the angel said to me, if you allow me to wake you up in the fourth watch, which is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., that's what he said. He had to ask permission. If you allow me to wake you up in the fourth watch, I will accelerate everything in your life. I went, okay. So never set an alarm. So I would sometimes wake up at 3, sometimes at 5:30, because I don't know what it is about the fourth watch, but everything's more open. It just is. It's a consistent pattern in Scripture. Jesus up in the fourth watch. One thing I've never done is prayed all night. I've never done that. I pray a lot. But I've never prayed all night. You know, sort of like, you know, I've traveled the world and sat in a group waiting on God and jet lag. And it's the worst. And everyone's on their own time zone. Like, and you're like, I've been in intercessory meetings where people are waiting on God. You know how people get busted? Someone starts snoring. It's everyone like this. And you hear this. What is it about sleeping that people always deny? It's like, are you sleeping? No. It's instant lying spirit. You got people soaking like this. And you're going, all right, this is all good. And with every new snort, there's more levels of laughter. It's not like it goes away. And then all of a sudden, you know, it starts different. The bass kicks in while maintaining the treble. And then you're sort of waiting and God, and everyone starts laughing. You just got to, so. All right. So God's waking me up. And we're talking, it was supernatural. There's literally no coffee involved. No alarm clocks. I'm thinking, I'm going to be so tired during the day. I know that I'm going to have a siesta or an ananap, whatever you want to put it. Nothing. Supernatural. For 3 months. 3 months, and I just praised God. I praised God. I don't know what assassination attempt was on my life. Spiritual assassination attempt. That's what the vision said. So I'm coming up to a threshold and the enemy goes, we don't want him crossing it. So I praised God. Sometimes, so this is what I learned. Even if some of you guys go, oh, I'll treat that as a hack. If you break through in the spirit before 6 o'clock, somehow it just takes. It just takes. I don't understand it. Don't build a religion out of this, okay? But I just find that Jesus said, what it said about the Lord in Isaiah, morning by morning, he awakens my ear. There's a pattern about, I'm not a morning person. Too bad. You might as well say, I'm not a breakthrough person. Because that is the pattern. You meet your God before you meet your day. And mornings are set up by the night before. How did I just like to stay up late? Well, then you're not going to be a morning person. Now, I've got no problems with praying late at night, all that. That's fine. So he woke me up. And I'm coming up to this threshold, and there's an assignment on my life. So I'm praising God. And then I had the craziest vision. I'm in a car, I'm in a sports car. Now, I've never been on this road per se. I've seen it on Top Gear, it's in Europe. Sometimes it could be Switzerland, it could be Scotland, I'm not sure. But it's going up very steep like this. You know how Tour de France sometimes go, it's like this. And it's like hairpin, I'm in one of these. And what happens, and I'm turning, and I'm in a sports car, and I'm in the spirit, and I just notice like something glistening on the ground. And then as I'm going higher, it's more intense glistening. Then I realize on the ground are just diamonds. I'm going higher and higher, to the point the whole ground is just diamonds. And then I look up and I see Jesus' face. I only saw it, I didn't see his eyes. He was sort of slightly turned to the side. I saw from here down, perfectly trimmed beard, perfect teeth, and this is what he's doing. Jesus was laughing so hard that his head was back like this. That's how I see the Lord. I see him. It says, because you've hated lawlessness and loved righteousness, I've anointed you with the oil of joy more than your companions. And that's your God. He is in a good mood all the time. I understand that he can allow judgments to manifest through saints and bring justice and correct injustice because he's God. But God's always in joy. Always in joy. I understand these scriptures, like in the Nephilim, etc. And God was grieved in his heart that he made man. Don't get me wrong, that happens. But generally speaking, so what happened is I started seeing going higher and higher in glory and the joy being greater and greater. And what happens, it's a chain reaction. You start to develop this in your life and you start to set off a chain reaction in the spirit where the joy of the Lord hits you. And when you start to lay a hold of it, then he sees you're laying a hold of his joy and then he goes into deeper joy because he's seeing that you're getting it. This is why you've got to rejoice. You've got to cultivate that, perfect it in praise. If you don't start to commit to being perfected in praise, because praise is the language of faith, what happens is that you might do it, but you'll be more aware that you're crawling through barbed wire and broken glass. When you praise God, God meets you. He dwells in your praise. He dwells in your praise. Do you want to cross the threshold on your own over years and years and years? Or do you want to cross thresholds completely yielding to the Lord, looking to him, in him, with him, through him, over and in weeks and months instead of years? This is the most consistent thing that I've seen. So I've seen God. I know my wife's very good at running. My wife is executive pastor. She runs that. She loves details. Can't stand them. I can't stand details. It's like, anyway, so we're going to make sure in a staffing level, I'm a genuine liability. Because everyone's doing their little thing. I walk in the staff room and I just start making everyone laughing. And I distract everyone. And my wife gets angry with me. And then I act like I'm sorry. She'll be in her office and people are like, ah! Like this. And then I'm like, I wasn't in too long. You know, and so a different liability. But what happens is, as fun as that is that we want to develop that sense of joy, right? You know, I'm not kidding. I experience deeper joy as I grow in the Lord. I really, really do. This is not like sort of like, you know, honeymoon period and then it's on from there, right? The joy I experience is deeper and deeper as I grow in the Lord. It really, really is. And you know, one of the better things of physical age, not everyone gets here, by the way, is that you sort of get over yourself. You do, you get over yourself. The worst thing we've got with kids is they're not over themselves. They're into themselves. You've got to get over yourself. So then I go, you know, joy is one of the most awesome things. Laughter. Merry heart makes good like a medicine. Onto the diarrhea stories. So Jesus, I've seen Jesus laughing. I mean, like not sort of like, you know, like, seriously, I've seen it. It's amazing. And so when you catch that, and I think generally speaking, I carry that. Humor might manifest in and out, but it's just the joy of the Lord. And you know what? And it's only said once in this context, the joy of the Lord should be our strength, you know? And so you capture the essence, merry heart makes it good like a medicine, before you cross the threshold, and then you cross the threshold. I want to encourage you with this. Between now and you going to glory, bad things will happen to you. I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, I'm your friend. They will. So you choose to transcend them by changing your default state of being so you overcome every negative event. That's what we're talking right now. You can, 2020 was the biggest favor for me. People go, oh, you know, and this happened. No. My life changed for the better in 2020. I'm actually grateful for it. I'm not grateful a big chunk of the church fell away globally. I'm not grateful for all the rubbish that's happened through government mandates. I'm not grateful for those things. But I'm grateful for the fact is that that woke me up. It really did. And that in our we are even in a war on our island. We really, really are. So this was on the first. So Darrell and I have done a few crusades in South America. So the first one, we go to a place called Moyambumba. We see great miracles, great salvations, baptisms of the Holy Spirit, the whole enchilada. So we go to the next place called Tarapoto. And, you know, I was eating what the rest of the team were eating. I wasn't being edgy or anything like that. If I'm in an isolated area, I'm very conservative with what I eat, try and stay away from certain types of food, etc. But I was preparing for this night meeting. Now, the night meeting was meant to be a crusade. It was the most bizarre building I've ever seen in my life. It was a massive, massive building. There's 1,000 people there. No windows. No windows. Just an entrance door and a stage. Now, the meeting hall would have been three times the length of this room and quite wide. Lots of young people. There was no circulation, there was no fans. It was like an armpit. It was shocking. So, you get like, oh my gosh. So I'm praying for the meeting, and then, you know, I've started experiencing what they call loose stool. Next minute, I can't feel my legs because I'm sitting on the toilet so long. And it's really bad to the point that I know I'm going into hectic medical level dehydration because when I urinated, it was like I was Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. When your urine is brown, all that stuff's shutting down. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. So I'm saying, people pray for me. And I'm like, so I've been to a meeting and now I look like I've drunk the wrong grail, you know. It chose poorly. And so and I'm just like, praise God, like this. You know what? That meeting, supernatural oil started coming out of people's hands, right? There was a whole bunch of salvations and healings and the whole gym steered the back end of the meeting. But it's like, I stayed in that joy. I stayed in that joy. And you know what? God healed me. God healed me. So a lot of you are going, I could be dying here. I could be dying. Because quite often is that the fear is worse than the possibility of the bad thing going wrong. And demons are, and you're just like, I'm buying into it. So I just said, no, because people, I've been in the meetings where people are going, you don't have to do the meeting. I said, I'm doing the meeting, you know. But you've got to stay in that place of joy. Can you imagine? I think one of, you go, that'd be an awesome way to go, is you're preaching and then, hi, Jesus, you know. Down. So I'm praising God, the joy of the Lord. And you cultivate that, friends, listen, cultivate that way outside of crises. Cultivate it. If you're a bit of a negative Nelly, deal with that. That thing will kill you. So you're a bit sort of like, that's not heaven. That's not heaven. This is why we've got to, a merry heart makes good like a medicine, but I just found that heaven is an amazing place and in the best mood continually. I want to resonate with that place and then heaven invades my world or I ascend or I come, I don't know. I'm not going to get into the what's up and what's down. Another time, again, another trip, we're in Peru. Peru. when we land. Uru, Puru. Anyway, so I can't remember if this was our first, we ministered somewhere else. And this organization, we're going to a place called Arequipa. Arequipa, it says, we've never done a crusade there, and it's hard grounds and da-da-da-da. Like, great, we're all, and it's at the base of a volcano. It's in sort of the southern Peru, and it's high altitude and stunning. And we're talking cobblestone streets, Spanish, 16th, 17th century type thing, you know, stunning. We're South America, we just go, they're not Johnny Come Latelys, Columbus, all that sort of stuff. They've got their universities, they've got universities like Columbia established in the 1600s. Where the Johnny Come Latelys, you can see these, like, it's like Europe, you know, in midst of a tropical setting and mountains, etc. So this was high altitude, dry. Now, anything in Peru that's at the base of a volcano, you know there's been blood sacrifice. And the Incas, they weren't nice. And I don't recommend that you watch Apocalypto, but you'll get an idea. There's a lot of bloodletting and there's a lot of demonic trading floors. So we go there. Daryl and I go for a walk to the town square to get a coffee. Before I even touch the coffee, then that syndrome kicks in again. It was completely demonic. Now, I don't know. So we're sharing a room. So now I'm back into the loose stool territory. Okay. It was bad. You know, most of us have been there, and it was as bad as it gets. So what happens is this, is that I'm going, oh, this is weird. And there was no, it wasn't like stomach ache or fever like this. It's like I was on a fast track of hectic dehydration. It was supernatural. It was demonic witchcraft. So that night, and the morning, Daryl's freaked out because he sees his giant entities walking on the streets outside of our room. So how'd you go last night, bro? And he's like, and don't mean to alarm you, but then what happened? The coordinator, Jim, speaks to Daryl and he breaks and bursts in my room. How are you going? And I said, I've got diarrhea, but I'm all right. So what I found out, he had a dream that I died. Now this guy's a prof, one of his functions is very prophetic. He dreamt I fell off the top of a building, just smashed all this glass, and he was traumatizing. How are you going? I'm going, okay. So do you know how easy it would be to let that fear go right into my belly? I'm like, okay, I can tell you freaked out. So then I was going to do the crusade at night. And during the day, you were doing like some sort of TV conference. You were doing an interview there. So yeah, there was all these strikes going on. So this is, you know, Peru's a bizarre place. They ask our team to speak to the media to settle these strikes. Yeah? Pray for them, yeah. Praying in the town. Oh, it's just bizarre. Anyway, so Daryl goes, look, I've got this, not an iPad, computer, and I've got Netflix, and you're staying home. What do you want? I said, great, you know, let's do that. And so I'm watching TV all day. I'm getting ready for a crusade. And I did the spiritual thing. I watched Godfather 1, 2, and 3. And then, but what happened was this, is that I laid a hold of rejoicing and the joy of the Lord. I really, really did. And then I had, just to give you context with zero details, I probably had 20 moves. I would have lost 5 kilos. It was hectic. And then I went to do the night meeting, and just before I get on stage, I had to go again. And I went to maybe some of the worst, least private toilets I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, just staying in the joy. Like I'd never let the fear or the anxiety, you testify, I never, zero fear or anxiety. So I'm here preaching the gospel. Praise God. And then I did the crusade. And then we saw miracles, souls. I think you or Paul spoke the second night and there's like angel feathers. Like amazing. Snowing. Snowing. Today, in the literally today, it was raining on me in the car on the way to praying for someone. We're at the beginning of amazing times. Can someone say amen? Did the crusade, and then they're like, we've got to get you to a hospital. Is this Jim or you? Yeah. So the Lord told Daryl, we've got to go. Now, so what's happened is that Daryl decides to, and it's because he's got this strong empath thing happening, he decides to sync up with me and he gets the squirts as well. So basically, so we're both not well. He's bad, I'm bad. To finish the crusade, and the Lord says to him, you got to go to a hospital. So we're in the hospital. Now, the most awkward thing, we've got to give these stool samples. And I'm just going... What? So, you know, like I'm walking around like one of those anti-shoplifting devices. And anyway, and it's like, and we have this tiny, I'm just going, how are we going to do this? We're laughing so hard. Now, the nurses are all laughing. The doctors are all laughing. They're thinking, why are these guys who are so sick laughing? We're just laughing. Because we're praising God. We're rejoicing, and then what happens, somehow, by a miracle, it was like getting the camel through the eye of a needle. I give my sample. Then we're waiting in this ICU room, on these gurneys like this, half an hour. They come in, they've got the results. They go to Daryl, No, they go to me first. You're really sick. But you're probably going to be okay. Then they go to Daryl, you're in big trouble. And Daryl took on the essence of death right there and then. And he goes, give me a look at that. And he goes, no, you've got them mixed up. So Daryl's having his personal revival. And now these guys... coming over to me and going, you're in really bad shape. Like, we're worried about you. And I couldn't stop laughing. You've got to see, I want you to think how many awful infirmity devils, anxiety devils, spirits of death. You know what? You've got to carry the essence of heaven to cross those thresholds. We did a crusade where no one had ever done a crusade before. We saw incredible advancement of the kingdom in that demonic stronghold. And what happened is that it wasn't like I just switched on the joy that day. I had learned to cultivate it. Cultivate it. I've been in meetings where the KGB wanted to take us out. I've been in meetings when I was in the southern Philippines, I was 20, right? 20 years of age. And I led worship, and it's the first time I'd led worship ever. And I'm singing the Gooby Gooby songs like, there's gonna be a revival in the land from the north to the south and the east. You know, what a mighty God we serve. He turned my mourning into dancing. I was the Wiggles. And the Lord said, we are fools for Christ's sake. And I'm like, ugh. And the Spirit of God fell. And it was a meeting of 110 young people. 100 would have came to Christ and 100 got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll pray for this person and these five people get thrown backwards and start speaking in tongues. People getting thrown around the room by invisible forces. But what happened, we soaked the meeting in praise and there was joy. I've seen this again and again and again. This is the most common mechanic within crossing thresholds. And in that place, you learn to drink. You've got to be into God, not into yourself. You're joined to Him. You can't come up with your own breakthrough. You've got to learn to look to Him. Get over yourself. And so this is what I've seen again and again and again. And God's faithful. He is faithful. And this is why, the Lord's had to coach me, but I've had a lot of close shaves. I've had a lot of close shaves. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now, this is what we're going to do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. I'm just going to manage something here. Oh, gosh. Our weeks are crazy at the moment. Crazy. I was in the sanctuary yesterday for a long time praying, and I'm engaging the next season. You know what I do when I engage the next season? I engage the essence of what God's trying to do. And sometimes it's not words, but I at least look at it. I say, Lord, show me. Thank you. It's that realm of faith. This is what we're doing. There's a lot of pressure. But if you don't get into God, you'll feel the pressure. Anyone that knows me, they've seen me 10 minutes before I come out here. They wouldn't even know I'm going to preach. I'm in my office like, what are you speaking on? Not sure yet. because there's a stress, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. Kill you! And so, people don't understand that. It becomes a pathway, but you've got to, I know this sounds weird, but you've got to wage war on all spirits of heaviness. You cannot take heaviness over thresholds. You can't. So the Lord goes, don't worry, I'll release you of the spirit of heaviness. That's not what he says. He says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So meant to be landing the meeting, poor Kayla, and I'm on my phone. Because the Lord was speaking to me. He says, people have to put on the garment of praise. People have to put on the garment of praise. This is what it looks like. And you won't take the spirit of heaviness over any threshold. That's one of the big ones. Can someone say amen? Even that whole conservative thing. And this is like, we're in a meeting now. We're probably going to praise God in a second. Just, you know, chances are. But you get this right at home. Don't be stuck in meetings. Get this, cultivate this at home, on your own. Because if you don't, we know you're not. Because you can't hear for awkward. You know, if God manifested the pillar of cloud right now, you're not going to be going, I feel awkward. You know, you're so aware of him. And this is the most common thing. This is so exciting because the Lord is speaking to us over and over and over again about governing in spiritual place from spiritual heavenly places over time. But draw near to God and he'll reciprocate by drawing near to you. You take your little baby step and he'll move three Milky Ways in your direction. This is what, and you've got to move to see God move. You have to move to see God move. Can we put the pads on, please? Can you have them ready? Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what we're going to do in a second. So this is what I was writing down on my phone before. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Praise God. Can we just invite the Holy Spirit? Can you guys do that? You do that for me, please. On you. There you go. Just invite the Holy Ghost. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, in a second, I'm going to get people to stand. What we're going to do, if you have been hassled out by a spirit of heaviness, I'm going to get everyone to stand and we're going to praise God. But I'm going to invite you down the front. If you are being harassed by heaviness, you're feeling pressure, and I'm going to invite you down the front to put on the garment of praise. Don't stand there like this. I want you to lift up your head and start to praise the Lord. It might be just me, it might be me and Daryl, we're going to lay hands on you. I just feel there's something that has to take place in the realm of the Spirit. But I want you to capture, joy of the Lord. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Most, I would say, somewhere between nearly and every negative thought you ever have come from a demon or you. Not the Lord. any thought. You think, gosh, and that's what will kill people. Negative stuff. It'll take them out. So God's not up there, God's not in heaven shooting fiery darts in your head. He's saying, lift up your heads and praise me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He drew near to us at Calvary and then Pentecost. Now, when we respond, we move, he moves, because he's already moved. Praise God. Praise God. Can we stand on our feet, please? Now, what we're going to do, and I will get you to help me, Daryl. In a second, I'm going to ask people to start praising God. Don't wait for the melody. I don't care if it's a little bit loud and ugly. You know, I said a little bit, not a lot. All right? We can handle a bit of ugliness and a bit of loud. But I want you to tap into the Lord. But in a second, before we do that, if you're being harassed by heaviness or pressure or things, I want you to make your way down the front. Legit. This is what tonight's about. You make your way down the front, come right up to the edge of the stage. Praise God. Praise God. You're being harassed. Being harassed. Thank you, Spirit. We're probably gonna need catchers. Can you grab someone's attention? Oh, yep. Okay, we have some catchers over here and follow us around. Praise God. This is what we're going to do in a second. I'm going to ask everyone to praise the Lord. But what are we going to do as people are praising the Lord? Me and Daryl are just going to come around, just lightly lay hands on people. Okay? We're going to lay hands on people. But here's what you got to do. We're breaking heaviness, but you've got to put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Don't wait for emotional manifestation. Start to praise him. And I'll tell you what, I learned to praise the Lord a cappella. I learned to praise him with no accompaniment. I can't, when I was in my house and the spirit of death was hassling me out, I couldn't wait for the band to come up. I just had to praise the Lord. Can we have all the musicians up, please? And I'm in my lounge room, you know what I'm saying? So hallelujah. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. So can we have someone following Daryl around here? Can we have one catch around over here where Daryl's gonna be about to go? We got one, we good? Okay. Yeah, someone else. Because of this. Yeah, you don't want to do that. All right, praise God. All right. Now, in the count of three, I'm going to ask you to start to praise the Lord. Now, if you can at all possible, this will really assist you. Not me, you. Smile. All right? The smile. Okay? So I'm going to pray over you guys, and then in count of three, I'm going to get you guys to praise God. I don't care what it sounds like, but we're going to lay hands. Father, we thank you. Jesus, you rejoiced in the Spirit when you sent out your disciples to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. You said you saw Satan fall like lightning. Lord, and I thank you, you rejoiced in Spirit that you had given the kingdom to children. Lord, I just thank you. You didn't give it to the religious. You gave the kingdom to children. So Lord, we thank you right now by faith for praising you and thanking you in the name and the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. On the count, me and Daryl come around and start laying hands in a minute. On the count of three, I want you to start to make up your own words, do it in tongues, but I want you to express gratitude and joy and victory. You're putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Your praise breaks heaviness. On the count of three. One, two, three. Come on. There needs to be some volume if you're happy. We're gonna break that silencer. Stop. That one, that's how you praise God in a library. That's a library praise. And there's all these demons going, shh, no breakthrough here. Serious. Okay. I know you've just got lots of things to consider. Okay, close your eyes, look to heaven. On the count of three, I want you to praise God and engage Engage it like you're leaving all your rubbish and junk at the altar and you're leaving a different person. On the count of three. One, two, three. Keep praising God. Keep praising.